Well, in this almost spring-like morning, we stand at the midpoint of Lent, that great season of grace that the Church puts before us every year. But we all approach Lent differently. For some, it is a time to give up things, especially food or alcohol, with the hope of doing some modest penance and maybe losing a few pounds. For some, Lent is a time to pray a bit more, or do community service, or maybe watch a little less internet. For others, Lent is simply business as usual. For the Church, Lent is a time for renewal of the Spirit, a time of rebirth, a time to prepare for that great celebration of Easter. Now, over the years, I've come to look at the season of Lent as a harbinger of springtime, as a forerunner of spring. Just as trees blossom out of winter's dormancy, and flowers pop out of the moist soil, and birds reappear in your backyard, so our spiritual spring, our Lenten season, should yield in each one of us new life, new growth, new greening, new insight into our relationship with God and with one another. Now, as I mentioned on Ash Wednesday, and perhaps again on the first Sunday of Lent, the poet Yeats noted that the journey into one's inner self is not only an important journey, it is the only journey that counts. Lent is a perfect time, my friends, for that journey into your inner self. And today's readings, I think, provide a compass for that journey. But before looking at the readings, let me note one thing. No two Lents are the same. It may appear routine, but it isn't. And it isn't because we have changed. We are not the same today as we were last year. Relationships have changed. Health and aging issues have surfaced. Our financial wellness may be in flux, and we are a nation filled with anxiety and the unknown. And all of these factors influence how we live this Lent. I know from my own experience that this is not a routine Lent for me, considering my present physical and indeed spiritual condition. Now, the past 3 weeks, our first reading from the Hebrew Scripture conveys that theme of covenant, that special relationship between God and His chosen people. And God made a covenant with Noah in the first Sunday of Lent, that a flood would never again destroy the world, and the rainbow is a sign of God's fidelity. And last week, remember, it was Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son that God rewarded him with great posterity. And today, Moses is given the Ten Commandments as God's expectations of his covenant community then and today. To love God and keep the things of this world in proper perspective, to value life as a gift, to respect God, parents, and neighbor. Thus, all these Ten Commandments work together to secure a balance in one's life. To put it another way, God's fundamental command to summarize all of the Ten is to pay attention to our relationships. By their faithful observance of the law, the Jews were sincerely surrendering themselves to God's will, which they believe was expressed in the law and these commands. And by their reverence for the temple, its liturgy, its feasts, its sacrificial system, the Jews were expressing their gratitude for the presence of God among them. And this was their moral compass, as it should be our moral compass. The Ten Commandments are not passé. They probably have never been more relevant. But the heart of today's message is found in that wonderful gospel. The episode of Jesus throwing the money changers from the temple is recorded in all four gospels, thus emphasizing the importance of this episode to the early Christian communities. And while three of the Gospels place this episode near the death of Jesus and actually a cause for the people to rise up against him, John's Gospel that we heard today places it much earlier. Because in John's Gospel, this is a sign that Jesus has authority not just to cleanse the temple, but to do what he will do, and a sign that was validated ultimately by his resurrection. Now, the actions and the words of Jesus profoundly disturbed those listening to him. The temple was, after all, their tangible sign of the presence of God among them, the destination of their pilgrimages, the place of their holy ritual and worship, and the business that led to worship was expected to continue. So in interrupting this flow of commerce by driving them from the temple, Jesus asserts that something new was going to displace this venerable structure, this very house of God. And with his prediction, the temple would be destroyed. And Jesus was signaling a profound change soon to happen. What Jesus is saying is that the temple will no longer be God's earthly dwelling place. Jesus himself, Jesus the risen Lord, will be the place where God's presence will dwell forever. And this revelation, of course, is not specific to any historical age. Jesus' actions and words remind us sitting here that we too are a holy place, that we too are temples of the Lord. We are places where God chooses to dwell. Jesus is saying to us, return your personal lives to their original integrity. Return your worship to its proper setting. Get inside your head, get inside your heart, and honestly admit, what are the temples in your present life? Call by name the compromises you have made in your relationship with God and your relationship with one another. Name the things that get in the way. Shake them off and share the consuming zeal that Jesus had for the house of his Father. So Lent, my friends, is a time to prioritize our life's values, to recalibrate what we deem important. We all really have to sit down and sort out what gets our attention. And some things rightly get our attention. Family, friends, recreation, God, and many other things compete for our time and our attention. But if Lent is to be a journey into that inner self, be prepared to reprioritize what you deem truly valuable. Use it as a time to heal what is broken, unite what is divided in your relationships, to be forgiving and to forgive. Regreen your spiritual life. The last sentence in today's gospel, I think, provides the incentive for this internal journey for all of us. Jesus simply said, "No one has to tell me what human nature is all about. I'm well aware of what goes on in the human heart." Think about that. What a powerful reality to reflect on during Lent, this season of renewal. The Lord knows your heart. He knows your fears and your anxieties, your desires and aspirations. He knows your joys and your happiness. He knows the shadow and the light that is inside all of us. He knows what your chosen temples are. He knows where you have put your priorities. So here we sit. What a better place to walk, what a better person to talk with, this Lenten journey to our inner self. Christianity is about relationships. The Ten Commandments is about relationships. And keep in mind, man and woman seek out God. That is our life quest. But keep in mind that God also seeks you. It's not a one-way journey. We seek the Lord, but He also is seeking us.